Psalm 42:43, a maskil for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. To the chief musician, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Now we begin the second section of the three sections of the Psalter. This is the Elohim dominant section, which is sandwiched between the two Jehovah dominant sections. Elohim is the name of God, translated simply God. Elohim, Eloah, which is the singular of Elohim, and also the name El, are all translated simply God, and therefore there can be confusion among these names in the English translations. So, for example, in Psalm 42:43, of the 21 names translated God, 4 of them are the name El, not Elohim. And we'll have reason to come back to this name El later in our discussion. But the most significant matter in these Elohim-dominant psalms is how Elohim compares to Jehovah. So in Psalm 42:43, there is only one use of the name Jehovah compared to the 17 uses of the name Elohim. 17 to 1. Though probably not all the psalms in this section of the Psalter are so dramatically overwhelming in Elohim's favor, there is a tendency in all of them to use Elohim more than the personal name of God, Jehovah, or any other name of God for that matter. With Psalm 42 and 43, we again deal with the issue of orphan psalms. Orphan psalms are the psalms which have no title attached to them. In this case, Psalm 43 is an orphan psalm. So far in the Psalter, we have noticed Psalms 1, 2, 10, and 33 to be orphan. Psalms 1 and 2 were considered to be set apart, in a sense, from the rest of the psalms as being a combined introduction to the whole Psalter. But we observe that the New Testament called Psalm 2 the second psalm, indicating that these psalms should not be united as one. But Psalm 10 perfectly joined with Psalm 9 to be a united psalm, with the Hebrew alphabet running through both. Then Psalms 32 and 33 though not immediately obvious in their connection, proved to be originally united by several clues, including the united call for the righteous to praise God as the link connecting the two psalms. But as we come to Psalm 43, we come to the situation of the clearest connection between an orphan psalm and the psalm which precedes it. Psalms 42 and 43 have several repeated similarities which have convinced many commentators that these were originally one psalm. There are also over 40 Hebrew manuscripts which unite the psalms together into one. But we find why this is the opinion of so many by a brief look into the psalm. There is a refrain which is word for word the same in the Hebrew. This refrain runs through both Psalms 42 and 43. Psalm 42:5 and verse 11 as well, and then also Psalm 43 verse 5. This refrain says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." We will have to explain how Psalm 42, verse 5 is the same exact wording as the other two occasions of the refrain when we come to 42:5 in our examination of the psalm. But for now, let me just say that they are word for word the same in the Hebrew. So this refrain is a strong indication of the unity of Psalm 42:43. But as I just noted, we also see other repeated phrases in the psalm. These repeated phrases have slight changes which are significant in the progression of the psalm. Again, we will leave the examination of the psalm to fully take note of those repeated phrases and their implications. But when we do point out these repeated phrases, we will find them to be scattered throughout the psalm. Let us take note of some of these repeated phrases for the sake of seeing further unity in Psalm 42 and 43. The phrase of 42, verse 3, "While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" is repeated again in verse 10 of the same psalm, "While they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" These repeated phrases show the unity of Psalm 42. When we get to these verses, we will see how the King James translation actually covers both the similarities of these phrases and the differences. But the translation is clear enough to show the repetition here present. But then we go on to prove the unity of Psalm 42 with Psalm 43 by observing another repeated phrase between the two. In both 42:9 and 43:2, we have the phrase, "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" This phrase is word for word the same in the Hebrew, and another strong connection between Psalm 42:43 showing their unity. Now, beside these repeated phrases in the two psalms, we have to add the united message of the united Psalm 42:43. In this psalm, we find the psalmist away from Jerusalem, longing to be in the presence of God in Jerusalem. And further, we find enemies in both portions of the united psalm, which are causing distress for the psalmist. Now we can add other introductory topics to the discussion of the psalm's unity. The structure of the united psalm reveals its unity as well. The structure of Psalm 42:43 is the most complex structure that I have noticed among the psalms up to this point. There is one obvious level of the structure, which recognizes that there are three sections to the psalm. Each section clearly ends with the refrain of the psalm, found in 42:5 and 11, and also 43 verse 5. This is the obvious breakup of the psalm structure, and demonstrates the psalm's unity in this structure. But then there is a less obvious level of the structure, which actually assumes the removal of the refrain. Let me be quick to say that this is not to say that the refrain was added later or was a mistake. Both the obvious level and the less than obvious were part of the original psalm. But this less than obvious level requires some explanation. This other level of the psalm structure, the less than obvious level, is a chiastic structure running through the united Psalm 42:43. The chiastic structure is not easily seen with a shallow survey of the psalm. The refrains coming at the end of each section seem to break up any pairing of opposite verses in the chiastic structure. But a clue to this structure is the prayer of David in 42:9, which runs through to 43, verse 4. This prayer is broken up by the refrain of 42:11, where he changes from addressing God to addressing his own soul. By the way, this united prayer running through the two Psalms is a further proof of the Psalms' unity. But recognizing the breakup of this prayer by the refrain leads us to examine what the Psalm would look like with the refrain removed. When we remove the refrain mentally in our minds, we find the second structure of the united Psalm, a chiastic structure. This chiastic structure runs as follows. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 are contrasted to Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. Now, instead of pairing two verses with two verses, there may be one verse, 42:1, paired with one verse, 43, verse 4, and then the other verse, 42:2, may be paired with the remaining verse, 43, verse 3. The ideas of these verses are very similar, so they could be either two verses paired together or individual verses viewed separately. In either idea, we still see the chiastic structure. Psalm 42 verses 1 through 2 speak of David's desire to come to God. Psalm 43 verses 3 through 4 give David's prayer that he would come to God. And we really need to see these latter verses not as just wishing that it happened, but full confidence that it will be done. Such is the confidence of these verses that one could say 42, 1 through 2 is the desire, and 43, 3 through 4 is the fulfillment. Then in the chiastic structure, we can notice that Psalm 42, verse 3 speaks of David's mourning because God was not with him. This is in contrast to 43, verse 2, which speaks of God's rejection of David and his mourning. Psalm 42, verse 4 and Psalm 43, verse 1 are also connected. Both of these verses, as we will see later, speak of the ungodly nation which betrayed the psalmist. Then Psalm 42, verse 6 mentions David's soul being bowed down, while Psalm 42, verse 10 speaks of David's great affliction by the enemies who caused his soul to be troubled in the first place. Verse 7 then shows God to be the supreme one behind David's affliction. This is contrasted to verse 9, which complains about God's forgetting David and David being left to the enemy's oppression. Finally, we come to the central verse, which is 42 verse 8, and its important remembrance of God, which gives hope to the psalmist. Now, observing this chiastic structure may lead to a misguided theory that the psalm was originally written as a chiastic psalm without the refrain. According to this theory, the refrains would be added later. To disprove this theory, we should examine the name El in the psalm. This name El, translated God as Elohim is also translated, is used four times in the psalm. These are significant references concerning God, and they are related to David's progressive recovery in the psalm. The first use of El is in 42 verse 2. Here the King James translates it, the living God, but we should translate it simply as El, or God, of life, God of life. At a time when David longed for God, he sought him as the originator and sustainer of all of life. Similar to El of life, and yet different, God is then called El of my life in Psalm 42, verse 8. This is a more personal expression, as God is the sustainer of David's life in particular. This recognition of God as the personal sustainer of David's life comes in the central verse of the psalm, a very important verse, as David's perspective changes from despair before this verse to hope from this verse onward. The third occasion of El is in 42 verse 9, with El my rock. Since God was David's rock, his foundation upon which to stand, David found hope in him to pray the prayer that flows from verse 9 to the end of the psalm. Then the final El is in 43 verse 4, where God is called El, the joy of my rejoicing. rather than God, my exceeding joy, as the King James translates it. God is the source of his rejoicing, the joy of my rejoicing, and this rejoicing in God is what David has longed for from the beginning of the psalm, as we will see. Now, these uses of El are significant for identifying the refrain as original with the psalm and not added later. The El phrases are placed strategically in the psalm. The first and last are placed in the second verse from the beginning of the psalm and from the end, respectively. The second and third uses of El are in back-to-back phrases at the very center of the psalm. But without the refrain being original, the last use of El would not be second to the last. It would be the last verse. And the third use of El would not be central with verse 8. They would be out of kilter. The end result of these observations is a recognition of a complex structure to the psalm, a chiastic structure on one level without the refrain, and a three-part psalm on the other level with the refrain. We also notice that both levels emphasize another name of God beside the dominant name of the psalm, Elohim, which is Jehovah in the one and El in the other. The chiastic structure emphasizes the singular use of Jehovah in Psalm 42, verse 8, and the structure with the refrain emphasizes the four uses of El. Both structures are used to express the mood and progression of the psalm, from David's despair to his ultimate confidence in God's deliverance. The united Psalm 42-43 is connected by a complex structure, both chiastic on one level, and then divided into three sections with the refrain on another level. Also, we saw how the prayer of Psalm 42:9 through 43, verse 4, is one prayer, also connecting the two psalms into one. Then we find yet more reason to tie Psalm 42-43 together when we consider the connection with Psalm 41 and the united Psalm 42-43. Both Psalms 42 and 43 mention the psalmist's desire to come into God's presence, which we can connect with Psalm 41, verse 12, when the psalmist said, "And settest me before thy face forever." The enemies which the psalmist faced in Psalm 41 can be seen in both Psalms 42 and 43, but such enemies are described more fully in Psalm 43, verse 1, as an ungodly nation and the deceitful and unjust man. The deceitful and unjust man, in particular, would connect with the betrayer of Psalm 41, who came into David's sick room and spoke words of kindness while he had murder in his heart toward David. And the ungodly nation certainly would connect in Psalm 41 with the people that this deceiver spoke to. So again, we find connections between the psalms next to each other. But in this situation, we find further reason, if it is necessary, to argue for a united Psalm 42-43. So we find the best example in Psalm 42-43 of how the so-called orphan psalms actually are part of the psalms which precede them. And again, in understanding a threefold division of the Psalter and understanding all of the orphan psalms to be united to the previous psalm, with the sole exceptions of Psalms 1 and 2, we find the whole Psalter nicely divided into 39 psalms in the first section, then 40 in the second section, then 39 again in the last. Very proportionate sections of the Psalter.